voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW.
Yes, it is. Good morning. We have got snow and 20 degrees right now. It's Thursday, January the 9th. I've been giddy. I've been anxious for this segment since last week. Jana Gageland and everybody's favorite Wapton historian. Good morning.
Good morning.
Last week's story was so weird and so incredible and so kind of like, what would you call it, disjointed?
And
now we're gonna do the follow-up to this about a very strange robbery. That's where it started.
Yes. Yeah. The robbery of Joseph Simonich and his many gold certificates. Yeah. So anyway, today we start with, well, how did they get caught?
Okay.
Because it was a mere 2 weeks between the robbery and when they were apprehended. That's really quick.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in 1925.
Yeah.
You know? Well, the Wilkin County Sheriff happened to be in a discussion with the McLeod County Sheriff of Minnesota. And he was telling him about this robbery that they had in Breckenridge. So as any good sheriff would do, he kind of filed it away. And when, you know, a couple days later, he was overhearing a conversation that a young man from Browntown, Minnesota, very far south, I believe. And the conversation was that he was telling another guy, yeah, I got this letter at the post office, but I don't think I'm going to go get it because, you know, it might be something. So he said, instead, I think I'm going to leave town.
And bells went off.
And yep. And so the sheriff is like, So he calls the sheriff from Wilkin County and says, hey, I just overheard this. So I'm going to go down to the post office and see if there's an unclaimed letter there. Well, sure enough, there was. And it was an unclaimed letter to Otto Free or Fryer. And because it was unclaimed, they were going to return it to his brother, which it turned out to be his brother, Ludwig Fryer.
Of course.
Of Rugby. So
Rugby.
Rugby, yep. Mm. So now we got to get another sheriff.
A lot of good things come from Rugby.
Yeah. I got it. Yeah. So the unclaimed letter then went back to Rugby. In the meantime, of course, they had alerted that sheriff, and the sheriff from Rugby intercepted the letter, opened it. Sure enough, it implicated Ludwig and Otto in this robbery. So in order to get Otto to identify himself, the sheriff comes up with a fake telegram, and he goes to Ludwig's house, and he knocks, and, oh, yeah, I'm Ludwig. Well, here, I've got this telegram for you. What? You know? So as soon as he identified himself, the sheriff goes, stick him up, of course, and then they put the handcuffs on. Then he sits down and gets a confession from him. So now we're at the confession part of the story.
Holy smokes. I love this.
I know. So the confession is that that the robbers took some money from Joseph Simonich, and
in Breckenridge,
okay. And it wasn't a lot of money, but it was money, you know. And then of course Ludwig's like, "Who ratted on me?" and all this kind of a conversation. Well, they after they had arrested Ludwig, then they had to find out who the other accomplice was. They knew Otto. And they had to track him down. And then they found out the other person involved in this was Henry Missage from M-I-S-A-E-G-E, from Breckenridge.
Okay.
All right. So then the sheriff says, okay, well, you got to send out a letter then or a telephone call and get the Wilkin County sheriff involved. So now he's going over to Henry's. In the meantime, Otto had gone to Minneapolis. And then he came to Breckenridge. And he was at Henry's house because, lo and behold, Henry was married to their sister.
Wow. So, connect the dots to this one.
Yeah. And so Henry and Otto were at the same house. So when he arrested one, he got two.
Wow. Two for one special.
Yep, exactly.
I love it.
So they after they did the robbery, Henry drove the getaway vehicle, and they drove up to Fargo. And they had one of the certificates or some money, $100 bill, I think it was. So they thought, well, let's get haircuts. So they got haircuts. And they said, well, we're hungry. So they went to the Chinese restaurant and had food. And then like, well, we're kind of tired. Let's stay over. So they stayed over. The next day, Ludwig went to Rugby. Otto went to Browntown or Brownton. And Henry went back to Breckenridge. So that was, you know, kind of their last deal, and they all just kind of took off. And of course, in the confession, the gag that they used for Joseph, remember, was an apron?
Yeah.
Well, they got it from Henry's wife's apron drawer.
Of course.
They cut some twine off of her clothesline, so that was how they tied him up. And Ludwig and Otto were from a family of 17 children. Yeah, out of the Fargo area.
17 kids?
Yeah, and a lot of them were in trouble. Like, Ludwig had been charged with forgery, trying to pass himself off as a representative of a brother's protection or a banker's protection agency. Yeah. And then they had another brother who was also arrested for forgery, as well as Max. Eugene was forgery and larceny. But Otto was adopted out. And so he had never been in trouble up until this time.
Okay, so it might be a genetic thing.
Yeah, and then
predisposed.
Yep, and yeah. So poor Marie, she just was kind of in the middle of all of it. So they got to the judge, and what did they recover? Well, when they were arresting Otto at Henry's house, Otto thought, well, I better do something, because he had the ring and the watch. So he threw the ring in a flour barrel bin, and then he put the watch in his suit. In an ashes from a stove, you know, a soot.
Oh, bin. Sure, yeah. Yeah, okay.
So, well, they found those. And then there were some keys that were supposed to be, that they could go back to Joseph's place. So he didn't know what to do with those, so he dropped them down the wall. Eventually, they got fished out by a very large magnet and a piece of wire. So what did they get for their efforts? Well, they went before the judge, and the judge said, well, you know, you guys better get limbered up, because you're going to go to work at Stillwater Prison. And so they were prisoner numbers 1079, 1080, and 1081. So they started their career with the regulation haircuts and the new suits of prison clothes. They all got 7.5 years. And even though Hank or Henry wasn't involved in the robbery, the judge considered him to be
an accomplice.
Nope, the brains of the whole thing.
The brain, okay.
Yeah, the mastermind.
All right.
Because he was a friend of Joseph's. He knew him. He rented property from him. And besides, he tried to talk his way out of it and put blame on everyone else. So they all got the 7.5 years. Henry died in prison in 1928. So they had been in prison for maybe 3 years. And he had cancer of the gallbladder. Ludwig, after his term, his sentence was up, he moved to Oregon and remarried, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And then he died in 1966. Marie, after Henry died, she remarried and stayed in Breckenridge. Otto, I cannot find a thing about Otto.
He just vanished.
Yeah, he's
yeah, vapor.
And Joseph died in 1935, but the money was never found. And his watch and his ring were recovered. However, the men who robbed him were not the same ones that had robbed him in St. Paul.
This sounds like a Coen Brothers script. It really does.
I know.
Script to a Coen Brothers
movie. I know, and I've probably left out several very good details, but you know, you just kind of got to do the condensed version of it.
Janet, what a great story. You know, and I'm so glad it took 2 weeks to tell this.
Oh, yeah, you couldn't say it in one time, no.
Yeah, you did some research on this. You did some digging.
Well, you know, you get a couple of newspapers and you just kind of put the story together. What one doesn't have, the other one may have, and so now you have a story.
Fantastic. What's up for next week?
Well, you
don't know how you're going to top this one.
Well, I probably won't for a while. But, you know, remember last in 2024, we talked about Missouri Bob and all that robbery
That's
stuff.
That's right. Yeah.
So, you know, we're not going to see that again. And we've talked about the streetcar.
Right.
So, you know, those things are 25, but we're probably not going
to
get there.
Well, leave it to you. You're going to find something.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's there. Just got to find it.
All right, Janet, always great to have you in here.
Good to be here.
You bet. Stay warm. It's Janet Gageland talking Wahpeton history. What a fantastic story. We do this every Thursday here at 810, the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW. Good morning.
No one woke up this morning and thought, I want to go Hagel.
At Quality Toyota, we don't do that. Our bottom line pricing means you get our best price the first time, every time. You'll even have that price before you talk to anyone, because that price is listed online at qualitytoyota.net and in the window of every vehicle. Simple, easy, stress-free. That's the quality difference. Quality Toyota, West Lincoln Avenue in Fergus Falls, qualitytoyota.net. Let's go places.